Hi guys, thank you for tuning in to episode 61 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns, and you can find my account on Periscope at Summer Newland, which is SommerNewland. I don't remember if when I recorded last week I had tried Periscope or not. I know I mentioned it, but I don't know that I had recorded a video. I did record one video. Unfortunately, those are only, well, depending on how you look at it, unfortunately or fortunately, those are only stored for 24 hours. So if you miss the first one, then you'll just have to wait for another one. I don't know how often I'll record, but it was kind of fun when I did it, and I've been following a lot of people, and it seems like a lot of people are giving it a shot. So it's kind of fun. If you want to take a look, or if you're on there, go ahead and friend me. Today is September 7th. It's Labor Day here in the United States, so that means no work for most of us. I have had a pretty relaxing weekend. I had a pretty crappy week, excuse the language, last week. It just was just generally a really bad week. I was very glad for the long weekend. We had friends come in from Austin to spend Friday night and Saturday night with us, and that was a lot of fun. And then most of yesterday and today, we've just kind of relaxed. Let's see, what did we do over the weekend? We did hit a couple of restaurants, and I'll go ahead and talk about them now rather than in the kitchen, just because I forgot to put them in my show notes, and I'll probably forget. So our friends came in Friday night, and we went out to eat when they got here and decided to go to a local place called Bombay Pizza Company. I have no idea if I've ever mentioned it on the podcast or not. It's kind of an Italian-Indian fusion place. Obviously, they have pizza. The pizza is very good and very interesting. It's on a very, very thin crust, kind of like a cracker-thin crust. If you are familiar with Indian food, it might be reminiscent of papadam, which is the very thin cracker-like bread that you get. It's kind of like their version of chips, is how I see it at most Indian restaurants. But this is thicker than that, but it is a very thin crust. And they have lots of different combinations. The one we got, or we actually ended up getting two between the four of us. One, I have no idea what it was called, but it had steak and gorgonzola cheese, I believe, and garlic and tomatoes. And that pizza was delicious. It was absolutely delicious. And then the other one we got was Saag Paneer, which, if you're familiar with Indian food, is a spinach dish. So it was spinach and paneer, which is cheese, on this crust. And it was okay. It was really spicy. The other one was better. They also have really good fried calamari, which I used to not be much of a fan of, but I always get it here because it's the best I've ever had. And then on Saturday, we went to Specs, which is a local liquor store. They've become a very big chain in Houston and probably Austin, maybe Dallas, over the past several years. They've been here in Houston for as long as we've lived here. We've lived here for 20 years, but they have kind of taken over a lot of the smaller liquor stores, but there are also some really big ones. And we actually went to the warehouse, which is in downtown Houston. It's not very far from where I work. And they have just a huge selection. And we stopped by there and stocked up on some beer. I'm not a huge beer drinker, but I've discovered that I like sour beers. And the best place to get them is at the warehouse. They just have a very good selection. So we did that, and then we went to eat at a place called Dak and Bop, which is a Korean fried chicken place, and this is in the Museum District in Houston. It's very near the Children's Museum, and they have double fried chicken. It's not batter fried. It's just the skin, and it has different sauces that you can get on it, and it is delicious. They're really good. So they're like they're like buffalo wings, but you can also get the drumsticks or strips. I got the wings, and I got them with a medium spice. No, I got one level above the medium spicy, and they were too hot for me. And Jimmy got the soy ginger sauce. Oh, that's what I got. It was a sriracha honey and lime sauce, I think. And it was very good, but it burned my lips. And Jimmy got, like I said, the soy garlic. And that one isn't spicy at all. It's just it's very flavorful. The only thing about the place is it's small and we had to wait. The hostess told us it was going to be maybe an hour or so. We waited about 25 minutes. The only problem was that it's very small. And so we were kind of in the way while we were waiting. And then the food takes a while to cook. But that's okay, because it's very definitely worth the wait. And then after that, we just hung out as friends. Today we went and, we'll see, yesterday I don't think we ate much at all. We had fried chicken, different kind of fried chicken for lunch. And then I wasn't hungry for dinner, so I don't think I ate much of anything. And then today we went and got Philly cheesesteaks at another place that we've discovered recently that has the best Philly cheesesteaks I've ever had. And from what I've seen on the web, they tend to be a lot of people say that they are some of the best in Houston. So that is my long weekend in review. And let's talk about some knitting. So I have, since I talked to you last, I have cast on, let's see, I've cast on three things. And I think I mentioned all of them last week. I said that I had some needle-adjacent projects on my mind, and I cast them all on. But first of all, let's talk about the things that were already there. I am still working on my Hitofude, which is a paid pattern by Hiroku Fukatsu. And I'm using Miss Babs Katahdin in the Ivy's colorway. And I think I am 7 repeats done on that. You start out with the body. It's constructed like a shrug. And so you do the arms and then seam them. And you do just like one long strip. And I've done, I will have to do at least 14 repeats. And I may have to do a little more. We'll have to see. And I've done 7. So I'm about halfway done with that. I mean, halfway done with the sleeves portion, and that's going really well. I didn't get to work on it as much this week, just because I went out a couple of days for lunch, and just a couple of days, I just didn't have as much time. And then I talked about the Waiting for Winter Mittens last week, which is a paid pattern by Susan B. Anderson in the my homespun hand-spun merino bamboo from Hawassi Creek Dye Works. I do not remember where I was on that. I know that I had started them. I don't remember how far I had gotten, but at this point I've done 1 mitten and I have not done anything else. I have put those aside because I was working on other stuff this week. I also, on September 1st, I cast on a pair of socks. I had mentioned that I wanted to use the Desert Vista Dye Works in Zombodies Eating Candy Corn, and I did start that, and I decided to use the Socks on a Plane pattern, which is a free pattern by Laura Linneman. I've used that pattern before, and this time I just kind of wanted a little something interesting, and that just has a really simple cable up the side. So that is what I'm using for that, and I've done the toe and then maybe 3 repeats of the pattern. It's slow going because I started working on some other things. So I mentioned also last week that I was going to cast on something with the Fibro Fibers Nightfall Shawl Ball that I got it into the wool last year, because it was my Living Vicariously project since the Into the Wool retreat happened this past weekend and I was unable to go this year. So after scouring Ravelry and trying to decide what pattern I wanted to use, I decided to use the Never Shall Meet pattern, which is a paid pattern by Clothesline Designs. And that's Quilter Caroline on Ravelry. And she had gifted me this pattern last year, and I hadn't had a chance to cast it on until now. So I cast that on, and I am... There are four stitch patterns, and you repeat... So you do all four, and then you repeat them again. Of course, the shawl is growing the whole time. It's a kind of, I guess it would be an asymmetrical shawl kind of construction, similar to like the Hitchhiker or the Trillian or something like that, in how it grows kind of on the bias. So it gets, the rows get longer the further you go. And I have finished the first repeat of that. So I worked on that. That's the only thing I worked on over the weekend, except for the socks on a plane, which I did in the car. But that was me being it into the wool in spirit. So I got quite a bit done on that, and I'm really happy with the pattern choice. And then finally, today I cast on one more thing. I had also mentioned that I wanted to do the goddess shawl. And I cast on, it's the Gorgeous Goddess Shawl. It's a free pattern by Dawn Ryden. And she's Dawning Dreams. I think she's Dawning Dreams on Ravelry. And it's from the Anticraft. And I am using Dream in Color Smushy in the Green Lantern colorway. And this is going to be a gift for a friend of mine whose birthday is coming up. And I don't think she listens, but if she does, oh well. The yarn I am using was a gift from this friend's best friend. Oh, well, I won't say it was a gift. She asked me to knit her a scarf a couple of years ago. And in return, instead of asking for payment, I just asked her to buy me some yarn. So this is the yarn that she bought me. So it's kind of coming full circle that I am making my other friend something out of this yarn. And I started that today. I'm about 40 rows in, which is, I mean, it starts at the bottom of, like, the tip of a triangle. So that's it. It at this point is about 40 some odd stitches across. So while it sounds impressive that I've already done 40 something rows, that is nothing impressive yet. I am enjoying the pattern. It's pretty brainless, and it's going to be really pretty when I am done. So those are all of my works in progress. I think I've gotten my cast-on-itis out of the way, at least for now. Now I have, in addition to the things that I'm actively working on, I have two other projects on the needles that I'm not going to talk about this week because I didn't actually touch them. So I think, you know, between all of that, I've got enough to keep me going for a little while. I don't know why I have the itch to cast on some type of baby item. I think it's because I was watching Bookish Stitcher today, and she was talking about having the gift, like, you know, a gift box that you can just easily pull something out of if a coworker or somebody is having a baby. And I was thinking that I would really like to have that. And I don't. I have some hats that I made because I was going to start an Etsy shop a few years ago. And so I do have a stash of hats, but that's it. So let's see. What else? Let's talk about spinning. So, nothing new on the wheel yet, but I did finish what I was working on last week. So, last week I was working on the Gritty Knits Rambouillet in the Goldenrod colorway. And I do believe last week I said it was yellow with some brown in it. There's no brown in this. It is not a gradient, but a tonal yellow that goes anywhere from a neon yellow to kind of an orangey yellow, a very earthy orangey yellow. And I finished that today, it's actually not quite dry, but I did a 2-ply, and I think I got about 250 yards of, oh gosh, after washing, it's probably a DK weight. I will have to use the wraps per inch tool to figure out exactly, but the yardage is fantastic, and I am in love with this yarn. The color is not necessarily my color, so I do think this is going to be a gift, but I don't know that it's the best spinning I've done, but it's really close. It's drapey, and it's soft, and it is just, it plumped up, and it's very well balanced, and the dye job on this is just gorgeous. I am in love with it. It is so, so, so pretty. I think tomorrow I will start on the wheel, the merino that I got at Smoky Mountain Spinnery in Gatlinburg last year. And this is the one I think I mentioned last week that I have had some issues with this one. And I think I've learned enough now that I can handle it. Last time I tried to spin this, it was spinning super, super thin, and I clearly had my tension too high because it kept breaking. And I think I've done merino now and have been successful at it, and I've done other fibers, and I think I know my wheel enough now to be able to do something with this. So that's what I'm going to put on the wheel next. And that will probably carry me through stitches easily. So then I'll have my fiber stock replenished and be able to do even more fun things. So events, I just mentioned stitches. So I mentioned last week I am going to Stitches, Texas. I am not going to talk about it too much because I did already talk about it, but if you are going to be there, please let me know. I would love to meet you. I don't have very firm plans. I do know that I will be there Friday and Saturday nights and will spend most of my time in the market. So please let me know if you're going to be there. I'd love to meet up. I also mentioned that I am taking part in the Down Cellar Studio Pigskin Party, and I'm going to let you listen to Boston Jen's podcast to learn more about that. But if you happen to join because you heard about it first from my podcast, I would love it if you would let me know so that I can count you as part of my draft that I drafted you, and I'll get points for that. I also mentioned last week that I was going to be in Austin for the Texas Book Festival. Well, I'm going to be in Austin anyway, and it coincides with the weekend of the Texas Book Festival. I did not realize that that is also the weekend of the Hill Country Yarn Crawl. So there's a very, very strong possibility that instead of doing the Texas Book Festival, that I might hit up some yarn stores. So if you're going to be in Austin that weekend doing some yarn shopping, let me know. I know that Heidi, who is Undead Yarn, who is Knitty Girl or Knitty Girl 1, and is the owner of Undead Yarn, the dyer behind that, mentioned that she will be having a trunk show at the Happy U, and I am going to try to go up there. I've never been to that yarn store, and it's a good excuse. Plus, I get to say hi to my friend. And then the final thing that I have coming up is the International Quilt Festival, that I will be there on at least October 30th. I haven't looked at the schedule for it at all, but there's a potential that I could be there that Saturday too. It depends on the ticket, like the pricing structure, because I haven't looked at that. I do know that my mom will be here, and my husband will not be here that day, so that's a good excuse to go twice if we don't get to look at everything that we wanted to look at the day before. So those are all of the events that are coming up. What was I going to say? This is not an event, per se, as far as knitting goes, but I will be in Birmingham, Alabama, the first weekend of December for my dad's wedding. He's getting married on December 5th, and I will be there. If you happen to know of a yarn store in the Birmingham area, especially if there's one in the northeast area of Birmingham, I'd love to know, because I would love to stop by while I'm in town. In the kitchen, I just have not been doing a lot of cooking. The only thing that I really have to talk about this week are the peanut butter cups that I made. And this is, again, from the Sally's Baking Addiction Cookbook. And I made I think the recipe is called Pretzel Peanut Butter Cups. I don't know if you can hear the cat. One of the cats is in the hallway just yowling. I don't know which one it is. Oliver, who is Laura's cat, has been very needy ever since she's been gone. He's such a baby. But anyway, the pretzel peanut butter cups. This was a very simple recipe. It uses, semi-sweet chocolate and peanut butter, brown sugar, confectioner's sugar, and butter, I think, and of course a pretzel. And it's super easy. You melt the chocolate. Well, first of all, you mix a little bit of butter and peanut butter and the sugars together and refrigerate that for a little while, while you're doing the rest of it. You melt the chocolate, and then in baking cups, like the cupcake liners, you put a couple of teaspoons of the chocolate on the bottom, the peanut butter filling on top of that, and then the rest of the chocolate you spread evenly over all of the cups. And here are my thoughts on those. They are really good. The recipe says, this is my issue with the recipe. So you've got the melted chocolate, which is fairly liquidy. And then you've got this peanut butter filling, which isn't very liquidy at all. Or it's not very fluid. So when you put it on top of the chocolate, you can't spread it very easily. I think it would work better if you let the chocolate at the bottom harden first, then put it on top, and then you can spread it more easily. And then also the layer of chocolate on top was a little thick. Also, the recipe says to put 2 heaping teaspoons of the peanut butter filling in each of the cups. But when I did that, by the time it makes 12 cups, and I would say after 9, probably the last 3, I had to struggle to get enough peanut butter to put in there. So that did not go quite as far as I thought it would. And then my final thought on it is that the semi-sweet chocolate is just a little too strong for my preference. I like semi-sweet chocolate, but for this, I think I would have preferred milk chocolate. So that's what I would do next time. And then the other thing is, so you refrigerate them for about an hour to make sure that they're solidify. And then if you take them out and you try to eat them right away, first of all, the cup liners stick pretty hard to the peanut butter cups. And then also the chocolate hardens quite a bit, so it was a little hard to eat. Today I discovered that if I take it out, peel the chocolate off first, because it's hard to peel. So first of all, when you try to peel it, when it first comes out of the refrigerator, it sticks and it's kind of hard to not tear the paper. But then if you wait and let it start melting, then the chocolate sticks to it and it pulls apart. So that's kind of funky. But if I took it out, carefully peeled the sides off of the chocolate while it was still solid, and let it sit for about 10 minutes to soften just a little bit. That was pretty good. I liked that a lot better. And I also, I think the one I had today had a little bit more of the peanut butter filling. So that is my review of those. And then the last thing I want to talk about are the books that I'm reading. I'm reading two right now, or actively reading two right now. The first one is Bone Gap by Laura Ruby. And this is a young adult novel, but I would only consider it a young adult novel because the main characters are teenagers. The writing style doesn't feel like a young adult book to me at all. And let me read you the summary because I am terrible at trying to summarize a book. It's easier for me to just read it. So, this is what this is about. Bone Gap is the story of Rosa, a beautiful girl who was taken from a quiet Midwestern town and imprisoned by a mysterious man. And Finn, the only witness who cannot forgive himself for being unable to identify her kidnapper. As we follow them through their melancholy pasts, their terrifying presence, their uncertain futures, acclaimed author Laura Ruby weaves a heartbreaking tale of love and loss, magic and mystery, regret and forgiveness, a story about how the face the world sees is never the sum of who we are. This book is so good. The writing style is a little whimsical and can be funny in parts, and it's a fairly serious book too. It's just a very good read. I am really enjoying that one a lot. I suspect I'll give this one 5 stars depending on how it ends. And then the other one that I'm reading, I'm actually listening to, this is The Translator by Nina Schuler. I have a vague memory of mentioning this one last week, but let me give you the summary of this one. When renowned translator Hannah Schubert falls down a flight of stairs, she suffers an unusual condition, the loss of her native language. Speaking only Japanese, a language she learned later in life, she leaves for Japan. There, to Hannah's shock, the Japanese novelist whose work she recently translated confronts her publicly for sabotaging his work. Reeling, Hannah seeks out the inspiration for the author's novel, a tortured, chimerical actor, once a master in the art of no theater. Through their passionate, volatile relationship, Hannah is forced to re-examine how she has lived her life, including her estranged relationship with her daughter. In elegant prose, Nina Schuler offers a deeply moving and mesmerizing story about language, love, and the transcendence of family. This is also a really good book. I'm listening to this one while I'm spinning, which is something I've just started doing. And I am really enjoying it. The narrator is really good. Her language skills are really good. There's a few different languages in the book. Her emotion, like when she's during very emotional scenes, she has the ability to like make you feel that emotion. And the story, it's not an upbeat book at all. But it's very beautifully written, and I am really, really enjoying that one. Not sure how many stars I'll give that one yet. It's kind of hard for me with audiobooks. I have a harder time rating those for some reason. So, that appears to be everything on my show notes for this week. I hope that everyone has a great week if you're in the United States and you are off today. I hope you enjoy your shorter week this week, and I will hopefully get to record again next Monday. I will talk to you soon. Bye.